Welcome to Texans Talk. I'm Josh McSwain here with my co-host, AJ Torres. Hey. Got a couple of bits for you today. First, we got Randall Cobb going back to the Packers at the request of Aaron Rodgers, who really owns the Green Bay Packers, but I'm not going to get into that. I wish Aaron Rodgers would own this team, but it's probably not going to happen. And we're also going to be looking at the defensive line and giving our depth chart projections there. But first, let's get into the Cobb deal. This does create a ripple effect for the receiver depth chart, which we went over a few weeks ago. So now this kind of opens the door for QT, Collins, Miller, maybe Roberts and Coulter to step up and get that number two spot. How do you think this bears out on the rest of the team?
You know, I found it very interesting. And last week I did say, is there any chance that Cobb gets moved? More of just a what if than actuality. But the Green Bay Packers, for a six-round pick, got Cobb back, and he hits under $3 million for a team cap. So I feel like the wide receiver position gets a little interesting. I think there's going to be one guy that's going to have to step up, and I think it's going to be similar, ironically, to Green Bay, where it's like, hey, we got our number one, Cooks in this case, and then everybody else. Who are you and what are you going to do?
Right.
And for this week, you wanted to go over defensive linemen?
That is correct.
Now, I'm at the Texans website. I'm at players roster. And I'm just going with defensive linemen that are on here. And, of course, the second one on here is Ross Blacklock, and he is such an X factor, but such a I don't know, and I don't feel comfortable.
Right, very unpredictable as to what he's going to be on the interior of the defensive line. You also probably going to have Charles Amenihue as one of the starters at defensive end. Probably going to have journeyman Malik Collins getting significant reps. And while I do think the defense will eventually move to a 4-3, I think Shaq Lawson, while he's currently listed as a linebacker, I think he's going to function primarily as a defensive end for the most part.
On the website, it says defensive lineman.
Right.
On their website says defensive lineman.
Yeah, so are you going to get pass rush from Amenihue, from Whitney Mercilus, who's kind of getting up there in years? Is Lawson going to provide it? Those are really big questions.
Let's see. It depends on the team. I think against the – if we go by the division, right, we don't know what the Jags are. With Quentin Nelson leading the staff for the Colts, I'm assuming no. Unless it's maybe the Jaguars in that division, I think it's a lost cause. But they also need to – because, you know, they're a J.J. Watt down. We don't know who guys like Roy Lopez are. I just want to see the new defense, the new strategy, and a couple of young guys and a couple guys that aren't so young but maybe just inexperienced. I want to see what they have to offer. That's what's going to be very interesting. But as far as like my standards and what I hope, they're not that high.
No, it'd be really hard to have very high expectations for this defense, considering just all of the ineptitude we saw last year. So, in 2020, J.J. Watt led the team with 5 sacks. Charles Amenihue had 4, Whitney Mercilus had 4, Zach Cunningham had 3, and Jacob Martin had 3. Really doesn't set the bar too high. Malik Collins probably isn't going to get a ton of sacks from the defensive tackle position. Maybe a Minshew takes that next step, but he was a fifth-round pick, and while he's a solid player, I don't know that he's going to even come into the same realm of reality that whatever was. He's not going to be a star, I don't think. Is there any real standout performer on this team? I really just
defensively
don't see it. Defensively, or just more along the defensive line, it'd be really hard pressed to find someone that would stand out.
It's really hard to. I mean, there's not one guy that I think stands out more than another guy. I mean, I'm concerned about what DeMarcus Walker is going to do and a couple other guys, but.
Yes.
I just don't see it being like that.
All right. I know we've done some over-under on some of these other position groups, but let's go a little differently. Who is going to lead the team in sacks this year?
Shaq.
All right, one vote for Shaq Lawson. I'm going to go with Charles Omenihu. Do you think the leading sack getter will get over or under 7.5?
Our leader do what now?
How many sacks do you think the sack leader is going to have? 7.5, over, under.
I think a good over, under would be 6.5.
Okay, let's do 6.5.
With Shaq, I got him just over at 7.
All right. Whew.
Everybody else, I mean, particularly since there's not a lot of that, because J.J. Watt, yeah, I mean, he's a veteran. You prepare for him different. You try to put two guys on him. He makes that line better. And without him there this year, that's why I'm just got my vote the way it is. We'll see.
Yeah, you know what? I actually think I'm gonna go under 6.5. I think Omenihu has 6 to lead, and maybe you'd get a few other guys that get over 5. I'd say Lawson gets over 5. Merciless might get over 5. Another guy, maybe. Yeah, that's a big maybe. Let's look at some of the other guys on the team and who do you think makes the roster or not. So Roy Lopez, he was a 6th-round pick out of Arizona. Do you think he ends up on the roster or not?
You know, again, if you look at the limited draft capital, if I'm correct, this was their last pick.
Yes, that's right.
And Casario is just like, I like this guy. So I think you're going to see him around.
I'd agree.
You're going to see Casario giving him a vote of confidence. Everybody else, I mean, I look at this defensive line roster, right? Merciless is only staying because of his money. Roy Lopez got the vote of confidence. Shaq's going to be your performer. Everybody else, it just kind of looks like, hey, man, you may not make it to the bus or the plane.
True. And you have DeMarcus Walker, who's listed as defensive end. He had 4.5 sacks for the Broncos last year. You look at him, he's 275 pounds at defensive end. Now, whenever the switch to the 4-3 eventually happens, could he earn a start? Could he have a starting spot? Maybe. I could see it. Would he supplant Merciless or Lawson in that role? Maybe. So he might be the guy with potential here. And let's see, Brandon Dunn, he was a free agent from Chicago. Well, once upon a time. I feel like Brandon Dunn, he's been around here. I just had a brain cramp, and I'm like, Surely he's been on this roster for a while. That name seems way too familiar. Yeah, definitely is familiar. Yeah, he's been on the team for 6 years. I can't believe it. Okay.
Here's a good one for you. Some guys think that he should just be the water boy. Some people aren't giving up. But you know me and my style. If there is a player on the team that you're covering or you like or whatever, sometimes when you slander him, he starts doing well. And if I'm Ross Blacklock, I'm not sure how much of a panic mode I'm in. But for the best of them, I don't know. What are you thinking of? Okay, we'll go with this. How many games does he play? Nine, over or under?
Over. I think he'll be given every opportunity to succeed.
Like it's garbage time? Yeah. I mean, I want to see him on the pass rush instead of on special teams. It would be nice. Would be very nice.
But yeah, Brandon Dunn seems like he's one of those guys that might be on the bubble this year. You also look at Jaleel Johnson. He was a free agent acquisition from the Vikings along the interior of the line. I think he's probably pretty comfortable in there. You throw in Roy Lopez at tackle. Might just be Collins, Blacklock, Johnson, Lopez. Might be their four defensive tackles. And, you know, at defensive ends, you might have a Minshew, Walker, maybe Merciless, Lawson. If they're in that flex category, you'll have Jacob Martin, probably used as an edge rusher some. You have guys like Vincent Taylor and Derek Rivers. Those two guys are also probably fighting just to keep their roster spot.
It could be. It very well could be.
So we look at Derek Rivers. His career has been a wee bit sporadic. He spent last year with Patriots and with the Rams. He was on the Patriots Super Bowl winning team in 2018. But yeah, didn't get a lot of action. He has 2.5 career sacks in 2 seasons, 7 tackles. He's definitely just trying to stay on the team. Vincent Taylor is another guy who was with the Browns, now is trying to make a name for himself here. Look at his stats over the course of his career. He combined for 12 tackles with the Browns a season ago. He's been in Buffalo. He's been in Miami. Another journeyman. And that's just pretty much what this defensive line is. Just a lot of journeymen out there just trying to stay on a team.
Terrible. It's really terrible. It just is. And yep. Even if you don't have Deshaun Watson at quarterback, you're going to have a wide receiver fest going on. It just would be.
Indeed you will. I'm going to close with this thought. On Madden, I saw that the Texans are not going to be the worst rated team in the league. They have a better overall rating at 76 than the Jets, the Panthers, the Lions, the Jags, and the Bengals. However, their defense at 72 is the worst in the league. I think it's probably justified.
Jeez, man.
But you look at those 5 teams, the Lions, okay, I can believe that. The Bengals, if they don't have Burrow healthy, Okay, I guess I can believe the Jaguars with Lawrence. I don't want to give the Jags any props, and they haven't done much to earn them, but I think with Lawrence, they might have a bit of an edge in the Jets. Well, what is Zach Wilson? We don't know, but we know what the Jets are. Oh, the pain.
The pain.
And the Panthers, who knows? I don't know how that happened. Even if Darnold's nothing special, they have a pretty solid team otherwise.
And go figure. We'll see if McCaffrey stays healthy.
Yeah. But anyways, I don't think there's any reason to have big expectations for this defensive line in this coming year. It's going to definitely be an area to address in the 2022 draft.
Agreed.
Yep. I think if there's one guy that really would step it up and surprise us, I would say Walker has the most breakout potential. I don't know if he reaches it, but I'm saying it's probably there. The other guys, like Amenihu, I don't think he has a great ceiling. Lawson, I think he's solid, but doesn't have a great ceiling.
Understandable.
And, yeah. Like a lot of those guys, we've sort of seen what they are. And there's a reason that they haven't stuck anywhere. Partially, it's due to team dysfunction, but some of these journeymen are journeymen for a reason.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, tune in next week as we go through the linebackers and see if there's any more reason for optimism at that position.
Note to self, I'm kidding, we don't know yet.
But for the time being, you got any final thoughts about the Texans for this week, AJ?
You know, since we're going to be doing the defensive positions, is it bad to start doing a mock draft in like October, November? Like the trade deadline passes for the NFL and we go, hey, off to the PFF website.
Well, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it, but to answer your question, no.
Fair enough.
Of course, with the draft thing, once again, it brings me back to Ronnie Perkins, who was there when Davis Mills was picked. I think that would have been a good choice, and I also think Dr. Zach would have agreed with us. I know he suggested him.
Not only that, but it's just a guy that he was very high on and said he will not be there.
If I know.
It's laughable and Joseph Asai. And the problem I have with this pick, right, is you have to figure out as an owner and as a GM going into this new year what your plan is and to stick to that plan.
Right.
It's like, hey, once you move in, you can't move out, and you got to grind through it.
It's true. You wonder if Mills was more to placate fans than anything else, try to say, hey, we are drafting a guy that may have some potential. Because, I mean, I think very few people would be excited about Tyrod Taylor if Watson isn't there. I mean, it would have been obvious that Tyrod was just a stopgap. But I was like, you know, embrace it.
Very true.
He might just be a bridge, but, you know, hopefully it's a bridge to somewhere good. You know, if you adopt the philosophy of building from the trenches out and try to pick your best available player that you can build around for the future and be thinking down the road of like, all right, we're going to have our quarterback in 2023 and let's have the best possible team around him that we can and have functional athletes and good chemistry at other places. Do that. This is not meant to disrespect Mills. I think he could be a solid player in this league, but I just don't think he's what this team needed at this time.
So here's a good one, and I think I have a good statement on where this show will end off. I have a good slogan of the future of Deshaun Watson. Because okay. I've been getting asked from people, hey, you cover sports. What's up with Watson? Or what team do you think he's going to? Is he going to stay? What's going on with his allegations and his lawsuits? So I came up with the perfect one. No matter what, he's going to be an Orange. Broncos or prison to the bank.
Well, we'll see if Howie Roseman has something to say about that. Yeah, I still think the Eagles could pull that trigger. I really do. Some things might have to be settled between now and then, but I'm definitely looking at him ending up in green.
I actually heard that he's got a a trade clause, and I think he could waive it for an Eagles trade.
Right, he does have a no movement clause, so he could determine where he wanted to go. But yeah, if he wants out of Houston that badly, Philadelphia is not a bad place to be. I mean, if he wants to go to Denver just because Kareem Jackson is there for the moment, obviously former teammate there. Jackson is not going to be in the NFL too much longer. He's on the downside of his career. I don't know if people just like Denver, maybe. Maybe they just like the culture around the team. Instead of orange, I think he might end up in green. Either in Philadelphia or green in Colorado for other reasons.
Well, there you go. Or, I wouldn't cross the Raiders off the table myself. They love Carr, but still. If somebody said, hey, dude, we want Aaron Rodgers, okay. But you need to send us Derek Carr, okay. And shut up, he's on the plane.
There you go.
You know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's just like they appreciate him, but, you know, his ceiling isn't going to get reached.
Or it already has, and that would be the worst situation for them.
I don't think it has. And, you know, guys are probably kicking themselves, but oh well. Nothing we haven't seen before.
Right. So with all that, just keep tuned in. We'll keep you in on all the Watson news. Please remember to follow us on Twitter at Texans Talk Pod. And any final thoughts, AJ?
I think we've touched them all. This was a good show, and we're still going to have to figure out on this defense where is the light. Otherwise, you might as well put one of the Ryan brothers on this defense. It's just bad.
Now, that would be an interesting concept.
It already happened. Good offense, defense that can't stop a nosebleed or go to park car.
Well, then again, having Rex Ryan on ESPN is somewhat entertaining. Maybe I wouldn't want to pull him off the set, but anyhow, we're getting off topic again. That's not a surprise. But let's go ahead and wrap this up. On behalf of AJ Torres, I'm Josh McSwain. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.